everybody. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad that's a really long song. every time I tried to connect everybody up on Skype, it kept crashing. So I logged in with a different account, and I don't know why that would have anything to do with why Skype would work or not work. But, you know, today's been one of those days, and, you know, I don't know that I need to know why. I'm just glad it's not working. So we have, let's see, we have Paul Muller. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
And we have the VIP, Rick Davis.
Oh, VIP. Yeah, right.
We have my dad with us again. You know, I was going to do something, and probably it was a good thing that everything got kind of goofy here, but I was going to, like, do an applause and all kinds of stuff, but I will just skip that today. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea. Because remember, I know where you live.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of right outside my front door. So, anyway. So, given the wonderful technical difficulties we've had today, I don't know if anybody has anything they want to talk about. I have a couple scriptures I've been, you know, mulling over this morning and yesterday and over this past week. And I know I asked Paul to look something up for me earlier today. I hope you're able to find it, Paul. But, Dad, before we just jumped in, I didn't know if you had something you wanted to talk about.
Well, you know, Steve, in his message today, had an interesting point. He was talking about people witnessing and people coming up to you and saying, "Are you born again?" And later on in his dissertation about witnessing, he mentioned asking people if they're a Christian. I think that's just as offensive to most people if they're not a Christian as asking if they're born again.
Right.
So how do you witness effectively to people out there in the streets? That might be an interesting topic to play with for a little bit.
Okay.
How do you effectively witness to these people? Well, you know, one of the first things that I found that works pretty good, don't try it. Ask them what they believe. And let them tell you what they believe. And then ask them if it works for them.
Right.
Well, is it working? Oh, yeah. Really? What's that cancer on you down there? You know, get them talking to you about what they believe. Because, you know, people, that's human nature. People want to talk about themselves. They don't want to hear what you got to say. So get them to talk about themselves and listen to what they're saying and ask God to guide you and direct you in how to approach it. So that you kind of sneak up on them, kind of like, you know, and nail them that way. It's kind of like fishing, you know. You don't, of course, you can take a stick of dynamite and throw it in the water. That can work sometimes, but usually kills the fish. When you go fishing, and by the way, this is the fisherman ministry, isn't it?
That's right.
When you go fishing, you throw the bait out and you play with it and let the fish come to the bait. You don't throw a lure out that tries to chase down the fish, because if you try to chase down a fish, what's it going to do? It's going to run away. So you put something out there and let the fish come to it. And when you're going to be a fisher of men, and that's what Jesus said he was going to make us, and that you go out, you offer something that they're going to want. And when you go up to somebody and say, "Hey, man, are you born again?" They're going to say, "Yes or no," or "What are you talking about?" or "Get out of here," or whatever. In fact, you know, it's funny. I have found that even people who are so-called born again are offended when somebody asks them if they're born again. It's like, "What are you talking about, dude? Can't you tell I'm born again? Aren't I pretty?"
can I ask you a question in this vein?
Throw anything out there you want.
Okay. Because you said something earlier in your question, and I've been mulling it over because I think it goes to our... Well, I'll say our as in the church corporate approach to this, and that is the word effective. You know, how do you measure effectiveness? And I think that people generally measure effectiveness in the same way they measure their attendance and their offering. They put the numbers up on the, you know, on the bulletin board or the overhead before service. But I don't know that is God's measure of effectiveness.
Well, my measure of effectiveness, Frank, is very simple. If I can get them to listen, whether they accept it or not, that's not my problem. That's between them and God. But I measure effectiveness is, can I get them to listen? Can I get them to hear what I have to say in the Lord? And if I can do that, then I was effective. I threw the seed.
Well, that's sort of what I was getting at. The verse that comes to mind is the one in Revelation where it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. That word of your testimony, that's what you get. And being one who used to do it, what you get with the are you saved or are you born again is there's just this air of insincerity with it.
Because, not just that, but arrogance.
Yeah, there's just the whole approach is one that puts people off. It does not. It's not one that draws people to the light. When you are sharing from a place of sincerity, of your real, your own personal experience of the good things that God has done for you, that especially when people are in similar circumstances and the Lord's delivered you or helped you out of them and they're in them and you can give them hope that you can actually be one that is showing a way to be free, to set the captives free and to deliver the oppressed. When you are in that capacity and that mindset, then your words aren't vain. They still may not accept it. They still may reject it. You ran into that with the guy down at the truck stop on your way here.
Yeah, down in Quartzsite.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was complaining about his circumstance and situation. You tried to talk to him about the Lord, but he already knew the Lord and already knew the Lord's ways, and obviously...
Well, the reason I don't think it came back void, I don't know if it comes back void or not. The reason I think it was effective is because, A, I gave him an opportunity to talk. B, he heard what I had to say in response. C, when he came back with his response of self-defense, really, defending himself. And then I gave one comment that he had to hear. What he did with it or does with it is between him and the Lord. And that was simply this: somebody is lying.
Right. Well, what I was getting at is that is the measure of effectiveness. If you preach the word, that's effective. Their reaction or response to it is not your problem. You are effective if you sow the seed. The are you saved, are you born again, unfortunately, that people that live that way or approach things from that perspective, their measure of effectiveness is the how many people did they drag to church that Sunday. That's how they measure their effectiveness, and I think that's an errant measure of effectiveness. What you're talking about is you may never see the fruit of the seed you sowed in the ground. But it will be effective because God's word doesn't return void.
Oh, you know, Rick, you want me to tell you what I don't think is effective? When you see a bunch of people come up to the altar on Sunday morning crying and accepting the Lord, and then the next Sunday morning you see the same one there.
Right.
You see the same ones. Something's wrong with this picture.
Right.
You know, there is definitely something wrong with the picture. It's like that woman I asked down at that convention, the minister's convention down in Lake Okeechobee. You know, 20 years she'd been going to these services. 20 years she'd been going up to the altar. 20 years she'd been having prayed for. And 20 years nothing's happened. But I got her attention when I asked why. Why hasn't anything happened here? She said, I don't know. I said, I do. She said, what? I said, God doesn't like you.
Right.
That not only got her attention, you got attention to every minister in that place.
Right, because how dare you?
Yeah, how dare I say it? But after she, you know, did her thing of, oh, I can't believe you said that, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, where's your husband? And she kind of looked embarrassed, and she said, he's at home, he couldn't come. I said, you're a liar. He's in there watching a football game, smoking a cigar, sucking on a beer. Because you're a hypocrite, he doesn't want any part of your religion. You come in here and you tell everybody you're a Christian, and you say hallelujah and praise the Lord, and sing songs, and you go home, and you are a bitch. And you take the Bible and you beat your husband with it, so that you can maintain control with him. And he knows it's wrong, and he knows it's a fake, and he wants nothing to do with it.
Yep.
And it got to her. And the Lord gave me more knowledge about how she had this back problem to start with. It was what she was getting prayed for. And when I shared it with her, she broke down and said, you're right. I said, you need to go, you need to pray and ask God to forgive you, and then you go home and you be a wife to that husband of yours, and you serve him as you would the Lord. And we got done praying, then she got up to walk away. I said, oh, by the way, bend over and touch your toes, tell me how your back is. She was healed. God was just waiting for her attitude to change. You have to get their attention, and you have to be willing to do it any way God says. But it always starts with a question. And the question that you ask is the important question. You can go and say, are you born again? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? These are all questions that will bring from the people that you're saying it to self-justification, judgment, fear, pride, all these different things. Even if they are Christian. Few of them, you know, there are a few out there. Are you born again? Oh, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. Okay, let's have a Jesus party. And that may or may not be fake as it goes, but the best question is, hey, how you doing today? Tell me, what do you believe? What do you believe in? Let them tell you, and then pray about what they're saying, and then let the Lord give you the guidance into going and dealing with it.
Yeah, in one perspective, the first one, the are you saved, are you born again, are you a Christian, that direction is going in with your own agenda. You know, going in to just see where they're at. I mean, just to give them the opportunity to tell you is to really just trust the Lord to lead and direct and do it, and you follow His directive and His objective. It's a completely different way to approach things.
Yeah. And then there was somebody said something on one of the meetings today. It might have been Philip, but anyway, let me remember back when Linda went into a restaurant and, you know, sat down and ate and all that. When I got done, went to pay for my meal, and the cashier didn't look too good. I said, how are you doing today? She said, oh, terrible, I've got this horrible headache. Well, that's a beautiful opportunity right there. There's an opportunity right there to minister the love of God. say, and what I said to her, I said, well, you know, hon, God loves you too much to let you continue in that pain. If you don't mind, I'd like to take it from you. And she looked at me kind of like I was from outer space. And before she could say anything, I prayed for her, and she was amazed it was gone, and the migraine was gone, and that opened the door to telling about the love of God. So, you know, there's different ways. But when the Lord gives you an opportunity like that, man, you know, that's like somebody blowing a horn and say, hey, here it is, let's go.
It's like somebody setting it up on a tee for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Paul? You want to chime in on this?
I personally will go for as many of those softballs as I can take.
Are you sure about that?
I don't want them to be good pitches. No.
In any of those things, regardless if it's a T-ball set up on a tee or whether it's, you know, somebody throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, the thing is, you still got to be paying attention to what's going on, because you miss the T-balls if you're not paying attention.
I've done that.
I mean, if your heart...
Yeah, if you don't believe that he's done that, Rick, just get on a show sometime and try to chat with him.
Yeah, well, we can maybe rake Paul over the coals another time, I guess, because there's just so much opportunity to do that. But there's a scripture that says, and I'm going to try and look it up so I don't butcher it too bad. Just give me a second to find it. But it deals with opportunity. Pardon me while I look this up. Paul, say something while I look this up.
I'm going to say something while he's looking that up.
You're helpful. I got it. You're a lot of help.
Because I was fixing to have to start reading.
All right, so here's what you say. There's a great song, and I wish I had it queued up. But that's okay. I think it's Keith Green, and he goes on, and while, you know, I really like a lot of his stuff. Some of the stuff he's a little off on, but we'll put that aside. But this one particular song is great because it's contrasting the sheep and the goats. You know. You know, the Lord goes to the sheep, says, you come and you visited me and you fed me and you clothed me. And they're like, what? We did what? When? And you go to the goats and the guy says, you didn't feed me. You didn't come visit me. You didn't clothe me. And he goes through these stereotypical churchy remarks like, well, what do you mean, Lord? I mean, you weren't one of those creepy people at the door, were you? I just didn't feel led. You know, I love that line because I love it, and it makes the nails on the chalkboard because I've done that. I mean, I've the weirdo with the long hair and drag lots, and definitely you can smell them from 3 blocks away, and I'm thinking, Lord, obviously, you know, you sent me to another class of people. I mean, I hate to say that, and it's recorded, but, you know, I've done that. You know, I mean, that's a hard thing to say. Yeah, I've done that. Somebody's chirping at me here.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So, I'm not even sure the name of the song, but I can find it then. Let's see here. I'll get it. But in the meantime, I'm going to read this scripture for you.
Why don't you read that scripture?
It's Galatians 6. And let's go to, you know, Steve was here today.
How do you spell that?
Steve? How do you spell what? Well, it's ethnic. So it uses characters we don't have in the American alphabet.
It's Hispanic.
Hey, Paul, you notice I'm going to work this thing where he's going to stop asking me to come up.
Well, I don't know. It's possible that might happen.
P-I-P.
You know, what I'll do is figure out the MAC address on your laptop and your tablet. For some reason, you just won't be able to connect.
That's all right.
I'm sorry, Dad. I tried to bring you up, but it's just...
I have my own thing here, you know.
Yes, you do. Well, it's interesting. Somebody was in Galatians 6. It might have been you, Paul.
Yeah.
Today? Or the be not deceived, God is not mocked.
Yeah.
Let's go to verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Okay, the wording here, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have therefore opportunity. We have opportunity, and that the inference of that verse is not that when it comes around. No, we have it all the time.
Take it.
We have it. If you are a husband, you have opportunity. If you're a wife, you have opportunity. If you're a mother or a father, you have opportunity. If you're an employee, you have opportunity. If you're a boss, you have opportunity. If you're on a bus, you have opportunity. If you're driving your car in traffic, you have opportunity. It's where's your head? Is your head in a place to see the opportunity as for what it is, as unto the Lord, to serve Him, or is the opportunity, or is your, or are you in a place where your mind is all about yourself? Because if it's all about yourself, you're going to be moaning and griping about the traffic. You're going to be moaning and griping about being on the bus. You're going to be looking at everything around you as some sort of inconvenience to you and your person, rather than it being an opportunity for you to bring the grace, love, mercy, joy, and peace of your Lord Jesus Christ to those around you.
Amen.
If your mindset is to bring the Lord and the light to the people, then when you're in those places, you will see opportunity. You will not see inconvenience.
It's again about the mindset of I get to rather than I have to.
And you know, there's... I don't even know if I can properly describe this, but you know, my nature, myself, my carnal man, let me say, never wants to see things as an opportunity. It always wants to see things as an inconvenience. And it has always been that way, and it will always be that way. But I choose, like Paul says, I myself with my mind, I do what? I choose the law of Christ. So I choose when the feeling or that thing comes up and I want to get bent out of shape or I want to get irritated and I want to get whatever it is because I am somehow being inconvenienced, I can continue that track. I can continue down that path and just be more miserable. Or I could choose to stop, repent, and get on a different road. The circumstances may be the same circumstances, but how I view them is my choice through the blood of Christ. And that's where the inconvenience turns into an opportunity. And that's when you're out and you have the opportunity every single day to bring the love of Christ to people. If you put yourself in the place that these are not inconveniences, these are opportunities, you will begin to see the T-balls that the Lord sets up for you. And even if somebody throws you the 99-mile-an-hour fastball, He'll give you what you need to hit it out of the park. If your head's on straight.
Amen.
I'm looking for that song. I don't have it.
Robin says she thinks it's the sheep and the goats.
It is the sheep and the goats. I just don't have it queued up in my database. So we'll have to save it for another day.
Well, you don't have to have it queued up in your database. Just type in, just hit that little magnifying glass in your queue, and type in the name of the song. If it's anywhere on your computer, it'll find it.
I haven't added all my songs to the database in SAM because some of them I haven't really previewed yet. So it's not there. I just did that. So
you just did it then, right?
I just did that, yeah. Okay, so moving on. Paul, did you find that scripture for me today?
I found several of them. You want me to start it?
Really? All right. Well, let me tell people where we're going. Dad, were you done with that topic?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. In fact, I'm thinking because of the... When I have my mic on, it's just breaking you up bad. And I think both of us being on the same thing is kind of slowing you down. So I'm going to back out and let you guys continue.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
All right, and I'll just be in the chat room and listening.
All right, well, that works. I'll keep my Eagle Radio chat up. I won't be monitoring the Skype. I'll have the Eagle Radio chat up.
All right, God bless everybody.
All right, God bless. All right, you with me, Paul?
The first...
Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
Jumping ahead. I want to tell people where we're coming from before we just start throwing verses at them.
Okay.
Okay, now, you know, this is, again, this is a pretty good topic, and it goes, sort of dovetails in what Dad's talking about today. There's the first works that God's asked us to do. There's the first things, right? There's love God and love one another. You know, my wife would come to me years ago and would say to me, haven't I been doing a good job? And she's talking about something that's unrelated to the things I've asked her to do. Now, the things I'd asked her to do, she hadn't done. So I'm not seeing these other things she's done, which may have been done very well, but because the first things I asked her to do hadn't been done, I really didn't care about the superfluous stuff. What I needed done was the first things I asked her to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In our walk as a believer is no different. The Lord has asked us to accomplish or required of us to accomplish some first fruits in our lives, which is at the very smallest, is to, love God and love one another. And if that is not something that is a forefront of what we live for, then all the other things we seek to accomplish, quote unquote, in the Lord, you know, we find ourselves in that Matthew 7 category. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we do the other thing, etc.? And in the end, the Lord said, depart from me, for I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And that iniquity is pride. We've sort of been through that a lot. But the first work that God's called us to do is to love God and love one another. And in that, we have responsibilities for one another, especially in, say, a family such setting or situation. And the scripture that I was thinking about here, because the Lord's been working it with me on this, and you know, the old saying is stuff rolls downhill. So since I've been blessed with the sort of the spotlight on my deficiencies, I'm going to share those with you, and maybe you can be blessed with the same spotlight of your deficiencies, Paul. Just trying to help you out. No, but seriously, this is an important point for all of us, because whether, like I said earlier, whether you're a husband, a father, you're a wife or a mother, or you're an employee, or you're a boss, it doesn't matter where you are and what capacity you are in life, there's some first work the Lord's asked you to do. At the very least, is to love God and love one another. And let me say this, that, you know, one of the things Dad talked about too, and he didn't say this expressly, but, you know, these people that go out and say, are you saved, are you this, are you that, they really don't understand that they're harming the gospel rather than helping the gospel. And they've missed the point of loving God and loving one another. The first scripture I want to talk about just briefly here is 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'll let everybody get there. Okay, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And those last two verses are what I wanted to focus on. I'm going to read those again. Verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? This is an example of what I mean by the first fruits, the first works, the first things God's asked of us to do.
Yeah.
It's very easy, and I'll speak to the husbands and fathers right now. It's very easy to allow things of life to interfere with the first work that God has given you, and that is to properly lead your household, to be the priest, prophet, and king, and responsible party of those gifts God has given you. Because in the end, the Lord's going to ask you, how did you handle that which I gave you? And you're going to have to honestly answer him. You're going to say, well, I did all that I knew to do. Or you're going to say, I didn't do anything because I was too selfish. You're going to come at it from one of those two places. You're going to either confess to the Lord your labor of love for those that he gave you, or you're going to confess to the Lord your lack of it, and ultimately your selfishness. The trick is, or the point is here, is if you want to be a minister for the Lord, this is not something that you can overlook. And it trickles down. I mean, this is talking about one that wants to be a bishop, but what if you want to be a minister? What if you want to be an evangelist? What if you want to be someone that is faithful to the Lord? What if you want to be, you know, someone that preaches the gospel? What if you want to be any of those things in the Lord? If you don't do the first things God's given you, even that which you have is going to be taken away. And that's sort of where these verses come from that I asked Paul to look up. So, Paul, why don't you read the first verse here?
Okay. Context is Matthew 25:14-30. The hits start at 21.
Does it make sense to read the 14-30?
Well, it's the story of the master who left his servants with talents.
Okay.
And left 1-5 and 1-3 and 1-1 or some such number.
Okay.
Thing is that in 21 he's come back, and in 20 he's come back, and the one that had 5 got 5 more, and he says in 21 to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And it goes on down to the one with one, and the one with one just returned him the one. And he says, I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Well, there thou hast, that is thine. Here it is, in other words. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtst therefore to have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I could have mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay.
So it's more than you're getting scolded for being unprofitable. That's Matthew. Then there's two in Luke.
Well, let's look at that for just a minute.
Okay.
Because we were just talking a little bit earlier about opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say this to, you know, sort of as a confession more than I say anything, is that we look at, if I look at my life and my week or whatever I'm in or my day, and I really believe that the Lord is part of my life and He's the answer and solution to all the problems and things that come up in life, and I have opportunities to come across my plate and I don't share Him, I'm really that guy who buried his talent in the ground. Am I not?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got my thing that the Lord's done for me, but for some reason I'm not willing to actually, I'm not even willing to take that, I'm not even willing to try and do something. You know, the admonition of the master to that servant was, at least you could have put it in the bank and got interest. You could have done something with it, but because you didn't even do anything with it, because you took the gift I gave you and did nothing with it, that which you have is taken from you, and you're cast into the fire. Now, I don't know about you, but that sort of sends the cold shiver up and down my spine. Does it you?
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the good the Lord has done in our lives and given to us in our lives. He has, and I don't know every single person's story, but look at the things that He's done for you, Paul, and for me, and for Philip, and for Hopi, and, I mean, you've got Jeff and Casey, Brad and Lisa, Dad and Cheryl, Bob. You have all these people the Lord has done miraculous things. John over there in Texas. All these, Scott and Gail, we can go on and on and on about the good things God has done for ourselves and those people we know. And we have opportunities that come across our path every single day to share with people the good things God has done. Not preach to them and beat them over the head with a Bible. That, anybody can do that. I remember, and I'm going to put Brad a little bit on the hot seat here, as I believe he can take it. I remember we had some friends or some associates that had come over to our house to, we had some, it was a 4th of July or something, and this couple came over, and I remember Brad sort of grilling this guy on the state of his salvation, and it was that stereotypical. It made me ashamed that he was part of the fellowship. I hope and I believe that he knows better to not do that now.
He's sitting right here.
I know that. This is why I felt comfortable saying it.
I don't know.
But, you know, I can say that about Brad because I've done that. I've done that exact thing. And I can only imagine if there was somebody there that knew better, hearing me do it probably felt like I felt hearing Brad do what he did. But, you know, that guy came to me afterwards and said, you know, I have a faith in God, but I'm never going to come to this fellowship. See, that was not just a missed opportunity. That was an opportunity that was handled inappropriately.
I think we've all been there.
we have to remember the first thing God's called us to do is to do what? Love God and love one another. And when we can come at it from that perspective, then the gifts that God gives us, we want to share that with others in a way that is not a condemning way, but it is in a way that is one to bring deliverance to others and to bring peace and health. And that's not that mushy-gushy feeling of peace, but that cessation of war between them and God, which is what we're all looking for. So as I listen to this passage here, and I can relate it to my own life, and you know, I hope other people can learn from these stories and these things and realize that, look, if you go in with a heart that is not one of to bring the love of Christ, you're going to find yourself doing that which is detrimental to the gospel. We have these opportunities that the Lord is going to give us. It's guaranteed. Let's prepare ourselves to be ready for them so that we can share the love of Christ to the people that the Lord puts in our path. Amen?
Amen.
All right, what's the next scripture you got?
Luke 16, and the actual the hit was verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. This is about the guy who he was an unprofitable steward, and he knows his master's fixing to can him. And he goes out and makes deals with the people that owes him money. And he brings some portion at least of all of it that is owed to his master. And he commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. It says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And that's interesting. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is also is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And
well, the principle that we're getting to here is that if you're faithful, if you show yourself faithful a little bit, then you're going to be faithful and more with more, correct?
You're going to be trusted with more, yeah.
Right. And it's that way, again, how many of us have maybe thought of, the word escaped me, but have thought about doing great things for the Lord? I have. Have you thought about doing, you know, great things for the Lord, Paul?
Yeah.
Maybe daydreamed a little bit of what it would be like to do great things for the Lord? I have.
Yeah.
The way you get there, if that be where the Lord have you to go, is to be faithful with the little he's already given you.
Yeah.
You know, if we learn to be faithful in the little that the Lord's already given us, and we are faithful and profitable in that, why wouldn't he want to have us do more in him? It only makes good sense. But if we're still fumbling around with the first things, the little things, the things that are sandbox and kindergarten things, and we can't seem to handle that, what makes us think that the Lord would ever entrust us with more? You know, I was thinking about my existence here in Lake Havasu, and it's been great having Dad here because his ministry, and I really was expecting him to show up and say, all right, let me show you how to do all this, da-da-da-da. And it, really what it has been is a lot of correction in my own way of how I do things. And it wasn't, you know, it's certainly not the Lord's fault. It's my fault. And the adjustment of my own attitude and my own priorities and working through that so that if I can show faithfulness in the little the Lord's given me, then God is well able to do whatever he sees fit and know that he'll have a faithful steward in that endeavor. And I go back to that scripture in Timothy, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. You know, I think to desire to do well in the Lord is to desire a good thing. Amen?
Yeah.
But you have to take that want to, which may not terribly be very honest with yourself, because a man does what a man wants to do. But you have to maybe take that fantasy thinking you can do a thing and distill it down to a reality doing a thing, which means you got to be faithful with the little bit and allow the Lord to move you where he would have you go. And for a lot of us, it may simply be being that right husband and the right father for your family, or the right wife and the right mother. Or, you know, if you're a young person listening to this, you know, you need to honor your father and mother. You need to obey your parents. You need to show them, through your service to them, the love of the Lord. There is no lacking an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ to those around you. It could be your brothers and sisters. It could be any your coworkers. It could be any manner of way. But you have the opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ to those around you. Go ahead, Paul.
There's a third witness here in Luke 19:12-27. If you're interested in that one,
sure. Go ahead.
This is a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have the authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, there is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that layest not down, and reapest thou did not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So it's the same theme in operation here. If you get faithful with the first thing, then he gives you authority over much.
I think there's a lot of layers in that last passage, Paul.
Yeah, there is.
There's a lot going on there.
There is.
A lot more than we have 5 minutes to deal with.
Yes, there is. I granted you that. I'll grant you.
Yeah, save that one to last. Thanks. If there's one thing I want to get across today, and I hope that it's been at some level coherent, and I'm glad that Brad has gained skin thick enough to allow me to use him as an example. An example, I bet you, if we're honest, we've all done it at some level. We are going to have opportunities around us. We have opportunities around us every day. Let's not allow those to slip through our fingers. I think of the moms that are going to be listening to this, hopefully listening, and the opportunity that they have every day with their children to show them Christ. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that are vying for our children's attention and, frankly, their soul. We are parents. We are that line of defense against the onslaught of the enemy for our children. We are. The Lord's given us that task, that opportunity. I dare not call it a burden. Amen.
Amen.
But that opportunity, he's given us that. Let's do that well. Let's take that seriously and do that well. And I bet you, as we start doing that well, I bet you're going to see some other opportunities open up. Because when you learn to have... When you learn to stand, therefore, in the sense of the onslaught of whatever's coming against you in that capacity, whether it's a parent or a husband or a father or a mother or a wife, when you learn to stand in that place, you're gonna gain a confidence that as you go out, you're going to have the confidence to stand there as well. Not in leaning onto your own abilities, but if we go to Ephesians 6 just for a second. Let me pull it up here. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says this. Of course, it's the last chapter of the book, so Paul's wrapping things up. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I want to just end on that right there. Because in all of these things, what we're going to run into is that if we stand in our ability, in our intellect, in our understanding, in our strength, we're going to wind up preaching ourselves and not Christ. We're going to minister selfishness and death versus life and peace. Do you hear what I'm saying today?
Yeah.
So we're going to kick over here. I'm going to pull the music up. There it is. We're going to go ahead and pull in the music here. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today and bearing with us through the technical difficulties and the long startup today. I want to thank everybody for listening for this Sunday. We may have a schedule change. We're going to be talking about that a little bit, so definitely pay attention to the website, www.eagle-radio.com. We may make some changes there and shuffle the shows around just a little bit. I guess that's about it. Paul, you have anything you want to end with today?
No, just thank people for listening.
Okay. Well, today's the start of a new week, but tomorrow's the start of a new work week. So take the opportunity, center yourself in the Lord, and ask Him to show you and give you discernment and see those opportunities that He gives you. And go in there with the mindset to just show people the love of Christ and see what good things God can do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That wraps it up for today. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening. You all have a great week, and God bless.